When we start appreciating the beauty around us, that awareness and all our five senses are totally stimulated, we start becoming aware of ourselves. And that awareness that comes about oneself makes a person become very confident and can take on any kind of challenges or problems that they face become so much easier because we become self-aware and self-confident.
Welcome to The Learning Circle, the ultimate video podcast for educators and parents who want to unleash the full potential of children. Join us as we explore the fascinating world of learning with the help of thought leaders who will share their knowledge and stories with us. This is your host, Kavleen Kaur, and I'm excited to take you on this journey. Get ready to be inspired, informed, and entertained. What if the way we perceive the world could be transformed through the lens of aesthetics? What if a shift in our artistic awareness unlock hidden dimensions, thereby enriching our experiences? And can this shift open doors to new realms of understanding and propel our growth? Today, we seek answers to these questions and embrace the transformative power of aesthetics. And guiding us on this enlightening quest is our esteemed speaker, Mrs. Pratibha Sinha, Chief Executive Officer at DSR Educational Society, Hyderabad. She has headed schools with CBSE, ICSE, Cambridge and IB programs and has held the position of Regional Academic Head with Pearson Education. She is on the advisory board of various organizations. Recently, she has authored a book, Striving for Success Today and Tomorrow, which is a detailed growth plan for a school. She has won many awards and accolades for her exemplary work in the field of education. She is closely associated with DIDAC and FICCI. She is currently working on correlating life skills with theatre and the benefits of theatre on children with autism. Ma'am, it's truly an honor to have you as our esteemed guest speaker today.
Thank you so much, Kamleen and Credo Learning for inviting me on this particular platform. And whatever I know about aesthetic literacy, I will definitely share it with you.
Yes, ma'am. We are looking forward to this discussion and gain insights from you on this concept. So to begin the discussion today, I would request you to help us understand the concept of aesthetic literacy.
Okay. So what do you mean by aesthetic? It's very simple. When you think of aesthetic, it's about, you know, appreciation of beauty, right? Aesthetic is all about appreciation of beauty that you can see around you, that you can feel, that you can hear. It's not about just art and dance and, theater, but it's also about if I pick up a twig, what beauty I see in that twig, the appreciation and all my five senses to be stimulated to appreciate that particular thing which is around me. That is aesthetic. And literacy, of course, is about education, about knowledge, about learning. So how do we connect aesthetics and literacy together? That is the crux of the whole discussion.
Right. And this appreciation of beauty is, I think, an essential element. And what would be the various components? You mentioned that it is not just art, but even it is if you pick up a twig. So can you highlight some various components which entail this aesthetic literacy?
See, even if I enter a restaurant, okay, and I see a table beautifully laid with a bowl of flowers in the middle and plates properly laid with the glasses and the forks, that's aesthetics.
Right.
Right. If I dress up well, or if I see someone dressed up well, I will call it as aesthetic because I appreciate it. If I hear a beautiful poem, or if I read a wonderful book, I will appreciate it, the language of it. That is aesthetics. So you can't categorize it into components. It's everywhere.
Right.
It's just that we have to open our eyes, we have to open our senses to start appreciating things. Now, why have we brought, I'm going ahead with the, you know, what you have asked, I'm moving ahead of it. Why are we bringing aesthetic literacy, or why are we talking about connecting aesthetic to literacy? Is we need to, the teachers, the educators need to start making the students appreciate things around them right from the beginning, right from the pre-primary, when he enters into the pre-primary, the child enters into pre-primary. It is also about, you know, when it, I don't know whether you've heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So Maslow says basic is roti, kapda, makan.
Right. Right.
About loving, then about the, you know, the other needs, then about relationships, then he talks about the cognitive. And then as we reach the peak of the pyramid, just below self-actualization comes aesthetics.
Right.
So, and then of course at the peak is transcendence. So that's a different thing. But when we start appreciating the beauty around us, that awareness and all our five senses are totally stimulated, we start becoming aware of ourselves. And that awareness that comes about oneself makes a person become very confident and can take on any kind of challenges or problems that they face, become so much easier because we become self-aware and self-confident. So it is actually at the third level of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So that's why we are making it a special mention. And national education policy is also talking about aesthetic literacy now, because they want, of course, as I said, they want integration of art into all the subjects. In fact, the other day I had taken a session on assessments, and art integration is very important now. So whether it is performing arts, whether it is, you know, any art form, it is being taken into consideration and it is being assessed. So why are we doing it? Why have we started doing it? Because this is the reason. I mean, we need to give our children exposure right from the beginning to appreciate beauty.
Right, right. So very interesting points you have covered there. So you have defined what aesthetic literacy is, with reference to Maslow's law, and also why it is important for children to learn it, because it would raise awareness and thereby making them more confident and capable. So we understand what it is and why it should be taught, and even NEP refers to that. Now that brings us to another question, that how should this be taught in schools? You have mentioned that there is art education is being given in all schools, but should it be given as a standalone subject, or it is advisable to integrate it into various subjects? And if so, how to go about it? What is the approach to it?
Every school has got music and art and dance and theater, right? But right now, let me not talk about it. Now, what I want to tell you is, in the classroom, okay, it cannot be as a subject per se. It's not that, you know, in one subject I teach aesthetic and then I don't. No, it's not like that. It's an ongoing process. If one day the child will not start appreciating the things around them. So what we need to start doing is create beautiful aesthetic learning spaces.
Okay.
Right? There is something called learning spaces. So how I create one corner of my classroom, or how I go around my school, or go around wherever I'm working and create those learning spaces which the child will love to go there and sit and appreciate and work and explore, and all his, you know, senses are totally stimulated. So these are the, it's not just one period that I would suggest. It's an ongoing process. Even in my math class, how do I bring in, the appreciation of beauty in numbers? Or how do I bring in the appreciation of introducing a new concept? See, this is where the teachers have to be so much, totally into aesthetics, that everything possible, even a pen that I lift up and say, what is the great thing? I took a session on aesthetic literacy the other day with one group of teachers, and I held up a pencil and told them that, how will you, make the child appreciate the pencil in his hand? Okay, so they said, no, ma'am, we will tell them it is good to hold like this, and how you will write, it helps you in writing and things like that. Then I told them, why don't you narrate a story about the pencil to them? You understand? So when you narrate a story about the pencil, he starts appreciating the pencil, one thing. The language skills improve, second thing. Then the child will also maybe illustrate what a story the teacher had told. So art comes into the picture. The teacher can also bring in pencils, more pencils, and talk about numbers and mathematics, whatever. There's so many. It's like it's an ocean of what you can do with a simple pencil. So this is where, the aesthetics, the beauty of whatever is there around me, the child should appreciate, should start appreciating that. If my mother is keeping my bag, if my mother is packing my tiffin, that also is appreciation. And if I understand that she's doing this, that's also aesthetic appreciation, right? So it's what, how we, make the learning around us appreciative. So imagine the positive vibes that comes out, in the classroom, in the environment. So I send the teachers outside, and told them that you go around and find your own learning spaces. And why have you found that, that will be a beautiful learning place, aesthetically pleasing learning space for the students? And they came up with such lovely ideas. So we just have to, ignite that spark in them. And that would take the thing forward. So it's not very difficult. Every day we are doing it. Every day we say, oh, you're looking so nice. Your bindi is looking so nice, or your earrings are so beautiful. Oh, your bag is so well packed. You have put your shoes very, very beautifully, very nice, This, we are doing it every day, but we need to become very conscious and speak to our children accordingly.
Right. It's a very simple, but I think a deeper concept that we may appreciate somebody's dress, but we normally don't appreciate things like pencil and pen, and we equate them to just with their usage, right? Just understanding, going beyond the usage and just understanding the larger impact of it, association with other objects, like you said, with a maths concept or with art, the pencil can help you create masterpieces in art. So those associations and appreciating an object because of those association, or appreciating somebody for what they have done for you, is, a very... simple, obvious concept, but that is generally overlooked in the overall aspect of learning, right? So what you said, doing it consciously is the key.
Yeah.
Right.
And slowly, in one session itself, I could make out the difference from morning till afternoon. Teachers were given a break. They went out for tea and they came back and they said, ma'am, we appreciated the tea that we drank. It was hot, it was, it had a, flavor. And so this is what it is about.
Right, right.
We take things for granted.
Yes, yes. That's what it is.
Out, there are so many things around us that are there for us, but we take them for granted. But when we start appreciating them, when we make our children become aware of the beauty. It's not about just the beauty of the eyes, but it's also about, as I told you,
yes,
whether it is responsibility, whether it is the language, whether it is how it is laid out, you know, how it is pleasing to all my five senses. That is what will really make children very, very, very confident. And the positive vibes will take them a long way. So we need to start that from the beginning.
Yes. And you have already shared how the teachers can, you know, help the children learn these skills. And how a session with the teacher, the session that you took, helped them realize, helped them appreciate beauty. But ma'am, how to act for the teachers, how to they understand this concept, they have learned once how to appreciate things, but how to really inculcate this in everyday practices? You know, it has to become a habit for the teachers. Only then they can continuously impart it to children, because there is not going to be any line in any lesson that, you know, please teach aesthetic literacy. That won't work. That's not the right way. So how do teachers make this a habit in themselves, you know, over a long period of time?
So it's a regular practice, right? It cannot, as I told you, one session is not enough. It has to be an ongoing process. One period or one day or, you know, 24 hours or whatever it is definitely an ongoing process. But if we are all, if we create that kind of environment in the organization, you know, right from when you enter the gate of the premises, or even when you're traveling, you know, to the school or whatever it is, create that environment through and through, then I'm pretty sure, I'm very sure that it can happen.
So it's more of a culture.
Now every school has got its culture, right? Every school has got their own culture. Every school has got their own traditions that they follow, you know. So if we bring this also as a culture into our school, it will remain and it will grow.
Right. So the point is to actually start building a culture, start building the learning spaces, so that
yes,
slowly and steadily this gets imbibed into everyone's habits, and then it can be transferred to the children as well. And I think... Please, ma'am, please.
No, as I told you that when I send the teachers out, you know, to locate some learning spaces, they can, you know, we have a construction new block coming up, construction going on in the next building, and they came up with such beautiful ideas on how we can ask the children and what the children can learn from that construction site. How can they appreciate the construction that is happening?
Yeah.
How can they appreciate the labor that is working there? You know, connecting with laborers or working there. How do they appreciate the hard work that is being put by them? So this is all about, you know, aesthetics.
See, they are already going beyond the obvious lessons they may have planned and noticing
yes,
these things, and also planning how to convey these things to the children. So that's a very good shift.
I mean, for the teachers and for the students, it becomes a learning place.
Yes.
The construction site is a learning space.
Yes, yes. Yes. It's a big learning opportunity across subjects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mathematical, how many square feet, how many, you know, square meters and those kind of things. There's so much.
Yeah, there are so many things in this. Yes. And interpersonal skills also, since they mentioned about the appreciation of the laborers and all, which
yeah,
are life skills. So a spectrum of subject skills they are talking about here. Yeah.
And also, you know, their own perception becomes very heightened. The perception of understanding, the empathy factor that we talk about, it really heightens when they become aware of things around them.
Right.
You know, especially when we think of when we talk about stereotyping and all that, but if the child is exposed to these kind of things, he knows that every person is important or every work is important. There are lots and lots of aspects to it. How is my perception to that particular thing, and your perception may be different, right? And then also about emotional intelligence. How do you appreciate, as I said, how do you appreciate the work of the laborer that is putting on so much hard work? That is nothing but emotional quotient of the child being heightened.
Right.
So every aspect actually comes under that umbrella of aesthetic literacy.
Yes. So we have talked about all these life skills of perception, empathy, emotional intelligence, and we have also talked about being more aware, more confident, and then the learning capabilities of different subjects like mathematics, maybe architecture in case of a building space. So I understand that, you know, it is complete spectrum of skills that a child can learn if we just pay more focus, pay more attention on the aesthetic elements of it. And in today's time, with this rapidly changing technology and the times of AI, you know, how would you correlate the need for this literacy, and is there a even greater need to be able to focus on, to notice beauty and aesthetics around us?
Yes, definitely. Because we don't want to, of course, artificial intelligence is really there to stay, and I totally promote it. But then we need to stay connected to the emotions also.
Right.
Right. That is very important. Although we may have, you know, we talk about robotics, robots coming into the picture, doing all the work and all that. But the heart is still, you know, beating within us. So that heart needs to beat faster when it sees something beautiful.
Right. That is right. What makes us human.
Yeah, that is what it makes us human. In fact, you know, there was this New York Academy of Museum of Art, Modern Art. They had done a wonderful research. Actually, I was searching in that, and that's where I came, you know, to know that there is a proper solid research going on with this. So they had associated with a lot of primary schools in New York, and they had, you know, given that kind of awareness and put few children from all the schools, you know, through this awareness program of aesthetics. And they found that children who had gone through that aesthetic awareness program really did very well in the future. You know, in the higher grades, and they became very confident, and they were able to take on any challenges. They became problem solvers and critical thinkers because they appreciated, they were able to appreciate things around them. Mm. So it is actually a research fact also.
Right, right. So there is enough evidence of following this approach and helping children be more awareness of their surroundings.
And also say that, you know, it's all about, you know, how, see, the life is with rhythm, right? A heartbeat also goes dub, 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 dub. That's a rhythm, right? So there is everything what you see around us has got a rhythm of life, we say. Mm-hmm. Even a machine going, you know, up and down has got a rhythm. Even when we, the car that moves or the cycle wheel or whatever it may be has got a rhythm. Right. So that also comes to, according to me, under aesthetics, that we understand the rhythm of life, the rhythm of music, the rhythm of things. Our daily routine is a rhythm. Our daily routine, I get up in the morning, then I have a bath, and then I come to office, and then this is what I do. So that's also a rhythm. So rhythm, I feel, should be very closely connected with aesthetics also.
Yes, and normally we may not be paying attention to the rhythm. We just do, we go through our daily life in a more or less automatic, an autopilot state. And yeah, being conscious of this rhythm is important. Yeah. So thanks for sharing that, ma'am. And then, you know, that brings us to another element, like everything else that we implement in education. For this also, we would require some sort of assessment of the growth that is happening for aesthetic literacy skills. So what is the approach that should be followed here?
So before that, I would like to, you know, kind of state few concepts, teaching concepts that will help in aesthetic education. So first would be, of course, artistic teaching.
Okay.
That is the first and foremost concept that needs to be adopted. Then life-based teaching. As I told you, you said life skills will be, you know, are part of it. So life-based education. Then we talk about diversified teaching, where different areas and different cultures and different kind of students and traditions and maybe every student is not the same way of learning, is got different learning styles. So we need to adapt the diversified teaching into our concepts. Then teaching through experience. Experiential learning has become a big thing. When the child is able to experience what he is being taught, it matters a lot. Then teaching by doing, that is similar to experiencing, you know, when he does what is he's being told in the class, it makes a lot of difference. Then individual teaching, imaginative teaching. Imagine the kind of, you know, I've heard teachers talking in the classroom that, oh, you have to write this and be very creative about it. Use your imagination. But are we giving that kind of platform to the child to become imaginative?
Right.
I mean, if you say that, oh, use your imagination, I was asking, you know, I was just thinking, if you read Harry Potter, it is so imaginative, that book.
Yes.
And I love reading it. The kind of imagination that has gone into that book. If we give our children that kind of exposure, that this is what imagining is about, this is what you need to do, we need to give them a platform to imagine. Only then we can come up with imaginative teaching. In fact, as educators, we also need to be very imaginative to come up with new ideas. And of course, very, very perception-based teaching has to be. So these are basically the concepts that one needs to adapt for aesthetic teaching. Now, when you're talking about assessments, of course, I mean, everything needs to be assessed. Otherwise, how do I know where my student stands? So I need to create a rubric related to that. Supposing I'm taking them in somewhere outside, maybe under the trees or somewhere, I need to have my rubric very clearly defined, that what are the criteria that I'm looking at and what are the gradings that I'm looking at. Okay. So now with art integration coming into the picture, CBSE has also come up with the rubrics for art integration into the classroom. And of course, they say that, you know, you need to go through Bloom's taxonomy to understand and make the gradings accordingly or the question paper accordingly. But basically, a clear rubric needs to be made before the teacher takes an assessment on these kind of abstract things. Because it's not pen and paper that the child writes and teacher gives 5 on 10 or whatever it is based on his spelling mistakes. It's a very, very abstract thing. So assessments also have to be very, very carefully. I think the learning outcomes of the assessment should be first clearly defined, and then the rubrics should be made, and then the teacher should take assessment first.
Right. So in the first part of your answer, you mentioned, you know, what should be taught. So you talked about the aesthetic, the artistic skills, life skills, experiential learning and all such things. So if
these are concepts, teaching concepts.
So if a teacher
strategies.
Right, ma'am. Teaching strategies and concepts. So if a teacher wants to pick up these concepts and strategies in her teaching, what would be the right place for her to start, her or him to start? What are the some resources available which they can refer to pick up these skills?
She can go outside and pick up leaves and branches and pebbles and she can start.
Right, right. It just have to be that she has...
That is creativity. I would say that.
Yeah, right. So
there
she just...
There are no expensive resources. There are no all those kind of things. It's just a very, very... What is IB philosophy about? IB schools, they have in the classroom only these pebbles and twigs and leaves. And, you know, all sorts of everyday material in the classroom for teaching, as teaching tools. So they don't have any all expensive stuff and all that.
Right, right, right.
So how I make the leaves into my teaching tool? How I make the pebbles into the teaching tool? So it's all my creativity.
Right. So I think normally this is not focused in any of the teacher development, professional development curriculum. But
I think we should start now.
We should start this. Yes, it should become part of it. Because like we said earlier, these are obvious, simple skills. But until you practice it, it doesn't become part of your psyche and your teaching strategy.
Karen, when we're talking about 21st century skills, creativity is also one of them.
Right, right.
That's the highlighted 21st century skills that we keep on talking that, you know, we need to imbibe in our students. Now, how do we do that?
Yeah.
Then my teachers have to be creative.
Right.
So I need to give them that platform. I need to give them that exposure. I need to give them that, as you said, professional development programs related to it.
Yes.
So that, you know, they also start looking at in a creative manner. They're teaching into creative activity.
Yes, that is very important. And creativity, we had a session on creativity where the guest speaker started the session saying that we ask children to make a landscape and then we tell them that sky has to be blue, flowers have to be red, and we give all these instructions and thereby the creativity is curtailed right up front, you know.
Correct. So if the child draws a yellow leaf, it's not wrong.
Yeah.
See, this is why I use the word perception.
Right.
The child's perception, he thinks that the leaf is yellow in color because at that point of time when he's looking at it, the rays of the suns are falling in on it and it is looking yellow in color. So you can't mark it wrong.
Right.
So in these things, there's nothing right or wrong. It's all about... either you want to say beauty lies in the eyes of beholder, or you see the perception is the right word. How each one sees anything that is around them.
Mm.
So there's no right and wrong. Only grading system you can create.
Right, right. Very interesting points. And previously we had talked about, appreciating objects like a pencil. You raised the example. And then we talked about Harry Potter. So with imagination, even a simple broomstick becomes a vehicle and and a painting, in the painting, the objects are
talking to you.
Talking.
The painting starts talking to you.
They're asking for passwords. So, you know, and kids, they get very excited about it. And, you know, I can see my own son when he's reading it. He's really imagining all those things. The words are so vivid.
I can now hear the excitement in your voice also.
Right, right, right. So I love reading that out to him, you know, compared to some other books. We really get lost into that word. Hogwarts is, we feel that we are there in Hogwarts, actually. So, you know, that's probably the power of aesthetics, as you had mentioned. Right. So now coming back to this topic, my next question was about some of the challenges that the teachers may face. But I think we have briefly touched upon that if they have not taken this as part of their professional development, they may face challenges in imparting them in their teaching strategy. Right. So it should be included.
Yeah. Someday we have to start. Right. I mean, when we start something new, people are not ready to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we are moving forward, the world is moving forward, we are coming together, we need to start somewhere, something. So even a small drop, if we matters to the ocean, right? So if we start today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not day after, but sometime, maybe in a week's time or something, teachers will start understanding what it is about and why is it relevant and why is it important and how it will help them in their teaching and how it will help the student in the learning process. The learning process will improve and it will become easier, in fact, for them to take it forward. Right. It is a challenge, no doubt. Anything that we start new, I remember during CCE time, how we, used to go mentoring the teachers and all that. It was anything new is a challenge, right? What I don't know when I have to enter into a dark room, I'm hesitant to enter a dark room, right? Because I don't know anything, what is there inside it.
Right.
But slowly and steadily, the light starts, we start seeing the light and we become more confident.
Right, right.
And I personally feel even if out of my 10 teachers, 5 have taken it, I'm sure they will influence the other 5 also and they can move forward.
Yeah, that's a very interesting thought there. And we have talked about the teachers and the schools. If we go to the other end of the spectrum, other aspect of a student's life, the home front, how would you suggest that parents, the larger family, to include this in their routine?
So, please complete.
Yeah, so some things are obvious, but there is this, as a parent, I know that a child has homework to do, the child has to learn the facts. So how do I enable our children, or how do every parent enable his or her child to be able to focus on these aspects as well?
So it needs to be done very subtly. If you make it very prominent and, this is what it is, and see, you need to appreciate me because I'm working so much for you and those kind of things. And I'm sending you to such an expensive school and those kind of things. If you start saying that will never work. So when we make the child understand and feel aware of things, that everybody is there for him or her, whether it is grandparents in the house, whether it is a maid who's working, and making him feel slowly and subtly, I'm using the word subtle, to start appreciating and feeling responsible also, that he's part of the family and he needs to be responsible for maybe just putting the plates from the table to the sink or just simple things. That will go a long way. That will really go a long way. How his grandparents or her grandparents are there for him. There's so much that needs to be done, even at the home front.
Right. And ma'am, thanks for sharing this. Now I would like to ask you some personal experience, memorable experiences, or some aspects in your life which have helped you develop your aesthetic sense, and how has that helped you in any of the endeavors that you have taken?
That's a long question.
There may be several such instances, but if you can share, one with us, that would be.
I've always been a very creative person. I think it's in my genes. In school, I used to be all the time on the stage, participating in various activities. And I don't know how, as I said, it must be in my genes. If I see something, I immediately can think about something creative from that. Even if I see a billboard or something on the road, I used to think, how can I bring it to my classroom? Mm. And always, my class, when I was a teacher, I was also a teacher once upon a time. Children used to look up to me whenever I entered, that what is she going to do today? So that kind of environment I had created in the school, in my class especially, that I used to bring in a lot of new things into the classroom. I still remember, I'm talking about long time back when I was teaching in school. There was a child in my class who was not doing too well. And I don't know why I felt I need to visit his house and see how meet his parents and visit him in his own home environment to understand how I can help him. And I did that. And I'm telling you, this is long time back when this theory of visiting children's houses and all that hadn't come. Now, of course, it creates a very positive vibe. And that visit of mine made so much of difference in that child's outlook. He started improving drastically in his work. He felt that connect with me. He felt that trust in me. And this is where I felt that, you know, I've done something great. I made a difference in one child's life. So that is a lifetime experience. So there are many instances, I'm sure, in everybody's life that something that they've done, it feels like life experience. But creativity is part of me and it's in my genes.
Wonderful example.
And I always, always promote creativity.
Yes, yes. That's a wonderful thing. I'm sure all the children that were part of your class, they were blessed to be able to, you know, experience this sort of connection and focus on creativity.
Today also, if you tell me to go into the classroom, I'll do something different. I keep telling my principal, our principal, that, you know, give me one substitute period. Give me one substitute period. Because it's a challenge to make children, you know, look up to you, and especially today's senior students, you know, they've got so much on the platter.
Yeah.
But to bring them all to one page and all that, it is surely a big challenge. So how, with creativity and with aesthetics that I can talk about, something to, you know, take to the classroom and create that interest in them. Maybe latest movie or a hero that I can talk about and take the class forward, that I'm okay with it. So that's creative.
You mentioned a very interesting point there, that, you know, especially with senior students, they have got so much on their plates. So all kids are exposed to so many things nowadays that I think, one, of course, their attention span is decreasing, and they are not noticing the intricacies of anything. They are, I think, just skimming through everything, lots of things. There's a lot of data, a lot of information. So actually making them aware of the intricacies, the beauty, the underlying concepts of things is more critical in today's time, I think.
Yeah.
Because there is so much happening around us.
Yes.
So I think aesthetic literacy is much more required today than probably it was, you know, a few decades ago. Right?
And see, it was always there. It's not that it wasn't there. But now a proper phrase has come for that kind of, you know, literacy. I mean, that knowledge that we are talking about, you know, the concept that we, I would say the concept, it is always there, but now we have given a name to that, a nomenclature or a name to that particular concept.
Yeah. And giving a name and discussing brings it into our consciousness also. So we can work on that. So that's the positive impact of that. And ma'am, just you know, a couple of questions. What is your favorite book that you would recommend to all children? Of course, apart from Harry Potter.
Yeah, there's so many books, you know, that we read during our time. But I remember when I was a student, I read Dr. Zhivago, and it really made a lot of impact on me. I love the language and the description of everything. I mean, you can You can imagine it as it is, you know, the way it was so descriptive. But what I like to read, you know, J.D. Krishnamurti's books.
Okay.
How he has spoken about his philosophy of education and all that. It's so beautifully tuned to what we are talking about, you know, today. How education is not about just being in the classroom, how education needs to come out of the classroom, how education needs to come into the open areas, onto the beach, onto the garden, onto the railway station. Yeah. So this is what he talks about, and I feel that it is so beautiful thoughts that he has, you know, about education.
Yeah, and I can perceive your enthusiasm about education being everywhere and not just in the classroom. You know, I think you live by that.
I totally believe in that. You know, and from everything that is around us, we learn something.
Yeah,
right. We should appreciate and learn. Appreciate and learn.
Yes. So that's a very powerful thought there, ma'am. Any other key message for our audiences, especially the students now?
Yeah. So what I have seen in my life as I've grown, that I've always been very focused of what I want and the passion. So focus and passion will take you a long, long way. And of course, with that, once you have the focus, you have the passion, you need to do hard work. So three things. It's a circle. Focus, passion, hard work. It will never go wrong. And you will always, always be able to achieve what you wanted. And you will feel that sense of achievement when you reach up to your focus. So that's what I have felt during my lifetime.
That's a very powerful message for the students, ma'am. Thank you very much for sharing this. And thank you very much for sharing your insights on this important aspect of aesthetic literacy. We had a very interesting conversation today, and there are a lot of insights and takeaways for me and for other educators and parents. So thanks a lot, ma'am, for coming on the Learning Circle and sharing your views with us.
Thank you so much. And with that, I would also like you to read again. I know we have read it in school, but I like to read Daffodils again and again, but it gives you that peace in the heart, and you can imagine the fields of daffodils nodding their heads and bringing in warmth into your heart during the cold times.
Right.
That's so remember that, and with lot of positivity, you know, take care and move ahead. Thank you for inviting me today.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you for this positive note of appreciation and reminder for all of us to, you know, go back to those warm times. Thank you, ma'am.
Right. All the best. Thank you. Yeah.